You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
You know, everybody, somewhere in their lives, they face some difficulties or challenges. That's just life. You might be in a season where there's no challenges, but as God takes you to a new level, there might be new challenges. You know, David called it the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 91 verse 14 talks about in the time of trouble. You can call it darkness, whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. People sometimes are so scared to say, don't say trouble, rather just say challenge. God is not scared of it. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, a matter of fact, darkness is for God like light. So your most difficult, darkest thing that you are facing, for God it's like light. Psalm 139 verse 12 says, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is at light to you. So I want to tell you, when you face difficulties, whether it's the valley of the shadow of death, whether it's trouble, whether it's darkness, we should change our view of that. Because that which we are facing that seems like darkness, impossible, is for God possible. Darkness, your most difficult situation that you think there's no answer, when God looks at it, he just sees light. In his wisdom and his understanding, he can move you out of that like this. Amen? And it's important that we allow the light to guide us. David said, God's word is a lamp unto my feet. So it's the light that will lead us in the right direction. But sometimes we make our own plans. Amen? Light speaks of guidance. It speaks of God's favor. It is presence, his joy. Amen? His salvation. So when light manifests, dark has to go. Light expels darkness. And we are called children of light. So this week, as I was reading the Word of God in Psalm 97, I read a scripture and I just got stuck there, and God was speaking to me from the scripture, and I want to read it to you. Psalm 97 verse 11, it says, light is sown like seed for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. It says, light is sown in darkness. Now just think about this. By its very nature, a seed, when it's been sown, where does it lie? It lies in darkness. And when I looked at this, God said to me, whatever darkness you are facing, whatever difficulty you are facing, I've planted a seed of light into that darkness already. Turn to the person next to you and say, do you believe that? God says, I've planted a seed of light into the darkness that you are facing. Colossians 1 verse 27 says, the hope of glory, Christ Jesus himself, the seed, has been planted on the inside of us to bring us hope and glory. Family, listen to me. Whatever you are facing, if you think, what am I going to do? The first thing you have to tell yourself, whatever darkness is pressing against me, God has planted a seed of light for me. And light expels darkness. Turn to the person next to you and say, light expels darkness. Give the Lord a hand for that. John 1 verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. This world is full of darkness, but we are agents of light. You know, sometimes we look and we see the enemy and we think, oh, the enemy has come against me. Light is the enemy of darkness. Let me tell you something. When you're an agent of light, you've become the enemy of the enemy. And you have an assignment. Wherever you go, to manifest the light of God where there's darkness. There's going to be darkness. There's still a thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to bring life and life in abundance. How do you view your situation? As darkness that is too much for you? Or you're looking at it and saying, God, I know you've planted a seed of light for the righteous so that they can be glad. Many of you are praying, Lord, send light into my situation. But if you know that God has planted a seed of light already, you'll start to thank God for the light that's there. It's completely different. Faith is acknowledging what you already have. When you say, Lord, send the light, then do you really believe that you're an agent of light? Do you really believe that God has deposited light on the inside of you? Turn to the person next to you and say, whether you like it or not, a deposit of Christ's light has been made on the inside of you. Family, listen to me. Faith is never a problem. Faith is something you have. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, we are saved by grace through faith. So faith is something that God deposited on the inside of us. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God is Jesus himself. That seed has been deposited on the inside of you. So faith is never the problem. The problem is, will you believe? Will you believe that you're an agent of light? You believe, you have faith that there's a deposit being made in you and everybody. But do you believe that that light on the inside of you will start to shine and expel all shades of darkness? The weakest light expels darkness. In the darkest of night, if you just light a match, darkness has to go. 1 John 4:9. The light of God's love shined within us when he sent his matchless son. When did he send the son, the light, into us? When he sent his son. When did he send his son? More than 2,000 years ago. So 2,000 years ago, God was looking at you already when he sent Jesus Christ, and he said, this good seed, I've planted already light, predestined light. You were never designed to walk in darkness. You were designed to walk in light. You were designed to manifest light. Turn to the person next to you and say, you were never designed for sin. You were designed for glory. You were never designed to walk in darkness, but you were designed to walk in God's light. You know what's the mistake that we make? Sometimes we discuss darkness more than instead of just thanking God for the light that is manifesting. Talk about the darkness. Oh, you see how bad things are. Instead of, God, I thank you that you've made a way. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Philippians 2 verse 14 says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's crooked and perverse out there. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. So family, listen, we're not saying it's not bad out there. We know it's dark out there. We know it's crooked. But he says, you shine as light. Anybody can criticize. Anybody can talk about the bad. But it takes a man and woman filled with the light of God to be the answer to show a more excellent way. So will you allow that seed of light that has been planted to manifest? You know what's the beautiful thing about light? Turn to the person next to you, say, light has attitude, but a good attitude. Not the kind of light that shines in your eyes that you are blind, the kind of light that shines on your path to know where to go, amen? Turn to the person next to you, say, good light. Jesus, the light of this world. Matthew 8 verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. When you have the light of life on the inside of you, you'll know what to do. When darkness is pressing against you, you won't respond in darkness. You'll respond with light and life. Light's attitude is one of humility. Jesus, the light of the world, when he came to this earth, he was gentle at all times. Turn to the person next to you and say, we need some gentleness in this world. We need some people filled with light and life. We need some people that can just go and manifest light. I mean, humility when there's arrogance. This is the battle between the flesh and the spirit the whole time. Pride and arrogance, humility. Good deeds, evil deeds. God has called us to manifest his light. And Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he walked in humility and sincerity, but he had great results. He never walked in arrogance, boastful. You know, when I look at Jesus entering into Jerusalem, if you had to picture that, the God of the universe who created everything, who comes from heaven, where everything is perfect, where the streets are made of gold. I mean, him walking and coming into Jerusalem, he could have easily said, two black stallions in the front, two white stallions, two spotted stallions. I mean, he could have gone for a white stallion with a black tail or a black stallion with, you know, he could have done anything because he's God. He could have had a king's cart, chariot full of gold, covered in rubies and diamonds that it shines and lights up the whole earth. But he did not come with a king's chariot, nor on a war horse. He drove in on a donkey. And that teaches us something about light. Matthew 21:5, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. He didn't come in on a war horse, on a donkey. I mean, there's so many things. If he came in a cart on the inside, covered with gold, we couldn't reach him. But somebody that sits on a donkey, somebody like me can come close to him and say, Jesus, here I am. Somebody like you can draw close to Jesus. So he came on a donkey so that people can get close to him. Can people get close to you? There's so much about this donkey. I mean, I should call the sermon topic Lessons from a Donkey, but no military display, no trumpets blowing. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back on a horse. He's coming back as a king. But when he was on that donkey, he was your Savior, but he was still Lord and God and King. Previously mentioned, light is sown for the righteous. Look at what Mark says, 11, verse 2 and 3. Go into the village over there, he told them. As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs it and will return it soon. Oh my God. Turn to the person next to you, say, lessons about a donkey. Now just think about this. This donkey, nobody has ever ridden on it. It's tied down, just waiting there patiently. His donkey friends are running around having fun. Maybe kings are on them, princes are on the donkey, they're going to the dam, they're going here, they're going everywhere. And this donkey is just tied down. But Jesus has spoken a word over this donkey. Many of you that feel tied down, the question is not, am I tied down? The question is, has God spoken a word over you? I'm talking to some people here. A donkey is ministering to you messages about a donkey. The question is, has the Master spoken a word over you? Many of you are tied down, not because you've done anything wrong, but because it was prophesied over you. Zechariah 9 verse 9, he prophesied about this donkey. He said the Savior will come in with a donkey. If he was not tied down, he would have missed his divine moment. Some of you have been stuck where you are, not because you've done anything wrong, because you've been waiting for your divine moment. The word that God has spoken, you can read 1 Peter 1 verse 21. Holy men was moved by the Holy Spirit and spoke holy words. I want to tell you, if God has spoken a word over you, it will come to pass. Many of you that feel tied down, that Jesus has already spoken the word, loose the donkey. But it's not manifested yet. If God has spoken the word, just start thanking him that it will be. If you know the promise that he has given you and you feel tied down, thank him for the word that he has given you, because you'll see the manifestation thereof. Very soon after that, Jesus was on that donkey driving down. I mean, can you just imagine? He felt, I had no value, no purpose, anything. And now suddenly he is the one of the kind donkey that had Jesus on him. I mean, if I had that donkey here or the lineage of that donkey here, Can you imagine what the newspapers would write about us if I say I have Jesus donkey rides here in Household of Christ on a Sunday? Everybody would want to jump onto that donkey. Amen. Come on, just be honest. Raise your hand if you were to ride that donkey where Jesus sat. Yes. But that donkey was tied down. Nobody had ridden that donkey, but God had spoken a word. When God has planted a seed of light, it will come to pass. Continue to follow the light in what God has called you to do. Meekness is not weakness. It's perfect strength under control. Meekness is not weakness. The donkey is not a war horse. It's actually a beast of peace. That's the attitude, amen? And you'll write that test every week. Every week, just drive to work and let somebody cut in front of you and you'll see if the war horse wants to come out or the donkey wants to come out. Saying, Lord, let me just be more like a donkey and less like a war horse when I drive, amen? Some of these young people, they remind me when they come here past me and cut in front of me, and I'm thinking, I used to be a war horse like you, but just give it time. Jesus will work with you and deal with that. Amen. Humility has got great value before God. Gentleness has got great value before God. A matter of fact, you cannot draw close to God if there's not humility in your heart. If you want to be close to Jesus, you need humility. Proverbs 22 verse 4 says, true humility and the fear of God lead to riches, honor, and long life. Riches, honor, and long life. Humility, not arrogance. Jesus could have called down legions and they would have obeyed. But he chose the way of humility, bowing the knee to the will of the Father and saying, Lord, your will, not my will. I said to the people this morning in the pre-service prayer, when Jesus said, all of you are heavy laden who needs rest, come to me. Many people don't have rest. They want to continue to do what they're doing because you are pursuing the wrong things. You don't have rest in your life. But when you come to Jesus, the light will show you what to pursue. Many are like donkeys that want to run around. But Jesus says, I'm keeping you tied down because I'm keeping you for a divine encounter. Because he chose the way of the Father is the way of humility. Many people want all the benefits of God, but they don't want God's way. It's not just about seeing his works, but it's about learning his ways, according to Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit. David, one of the greatest. I mean, David could have called himself the giant slayer. I mean, he could have done it. He's a great king, mighty king, killed a giant. But he never had that kind of an attitude. He said, Lord, your gentleness has made me great. Psalm 22, verse 36, you have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness has made me great. I want you to see the order. He says, first, the shield of salvation. What did he say in Psalm 27? The Lord is the light of my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's the strength of my life. So David knew it was the light in his life that made the difference. That's why he could go onto the battlefield and face a giant, not arrogantly, but in humility and sincerity of heart, say to that giant, you've not come against me, buddy. You've come against my God. There's a seed of light that's been planted on the inside of me, and that light is enough to expel any shade of darkness. Sometimes when we approach things, we should just calm down, find rest, and focus upon the light that's on the inside of us, and let the light lead us. His word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet. Here's the question you have to ask yourself. When God makes you great, will you remain gentle? Turn to the person next to you and say, when God makes you great, will you remain gentle? You know, God deals with us just gently. Who of you appreciate God? Say, thank you, Jesus, for dealing with me gently. It's the gentle, meek spirit that God elevates. It's the humble that draws close to Him. It's the humble that He lifts up. That's the way of light. And we have to say, if we are children of light, that we're going to walk in that. Many want the greatness without the gentleness. There are many great people that are not gentle. They want the shield without the surrendered heart. Turn to the person that you say, Aina. But David discovered and realized that it was this gentleness of God that made him great. This is the way of light. A church should be a place of light, a place where people are gentle, where people, when they come here, they experience Jesus and His kindness. That doesn't mean you can just do what you want to, amen? Because light will also expose bad behavior. And when the light shines into you and says, listen, this is wrong, then you have a decision to lean towards the light and say, Lord, forgive me and change. Or you lean towards the darkness and say, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm following my own way. That's what he says, it is choosing life and death. He says, choose light, choose life. But if you want to choose the opposite, then that's when bad things come into your life. So let me close with this. How do I apply this to my life? Turn to the person next to you and say, you've got light on the inside. So the first thing is, stay close to the light. Spend time in the Word of God. This is full of light and life. When you are reading this, you think you're reading this Word, but the Word is busy reading you. Because it's got the ability to discern the intents and the thoughts of your heart. So when your heart wants to take you into the wrong direction, this light, when it shines into your heart, it will say, oh, that's wrong. When somebody has done something, I'll say, I will show them. I'll sort them out. You want a piece of me? When you read the Bible, it says, no, it's not the way to behave. Forgive as Christ has forgiven. That's the way of light. He says, a seed of light has been sown for the righteous. Who makes you righteous? Jesus Christ. Not self-righteousness. The righteousness that comes from Christ Jesus. Amen? So if the seed of light has been planted, turn to the person next to you and say, it's been planted. Whatever darkness you are facing, whatever difficulty is pressing against you, a seed of light has been planted already. If it's been planted already, do you have to ask God to plant a seed of light? What do you need to do? You have to thank Him for the seed of light that He has planted. Many of you that are praying and saying, Lord, give us a baby. We want a child. You should change your prayer and say, thank you, Lord, that you've given us the child. Some of you that are saying, Lord, please save my daughter, save my son, save my family. You should start praying, thank you, Lord, that my family is serving you. Instead of saying, Lord, heal, thank you that you've healed. Stop praying and saying, Lord, can we have a breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Saying, thank you, Lord, that you've sent the breaker and that you've given us breakthrough already. And change your prayer from one of hoping that it's going to happen to thanking God that He's planted the seed already. Because the Bible said He sent His word and He healed them. He said, by Jesus' stripes, you are healed already. Faith is acknowledging what you already have. Look at Father Abraham. Did Father Abraham ever ask and petition God for Isaac? No. But what did he do? Romans 4:20. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. What did Abraham do? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I give glory to you. Thank you, Lord, that you've spoken the word. Thank you that you've planted the seed of light. Thank you, Lord, that you've said, I have an Isaac. Can I have one amen? Can I just say, if you feel a bit down, if you feel a bit overlooked, maybe even tied down like the donkey, stop saying, I'm so tied down. I'm limited like a donkey. My master is keeping everybody away. I've not even had anybody ride on me. I feel so used or overlooked. Start saying, thank you that the master has spoken a word. Loose the donkey, I have need of him. And change your attitude towards what you are facing and seeing and thanking God for what he has done already. Because the Bible says God is able to do far more abundantly above whatever you could think, dream, imagine, or ask him. Thank you is a response from a grateful heart, knowing that Jesus has done it already. His meekness becomes the path for us. His light shows us the way. Can I just say, don't abandon the light. Stay close to the light. Turn to the person next to you. Stay close to the light. You know, I called this stay close to the light, but actually the light is in you already. So I don't know how you're going to run away from the light. But God has deposited on the inside of you. So you know that God will see you through, because light expels darkness. Stay true and you'll see what God will do. He's your shield around you. His gentleness is the thing that makes us great. Stay humble before God. Remain kind and thank him in everything. See you later.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.